Chapter 18. A faint stirring in one of the beds is loud against the mechanical sounds of the room. Shock looks automatically, turning away from the stream of results coming in as the droids compile data, and finds that Tup is the first awake, lying in bed with his eyes open, expression faintly dazed. Oh, Shock thinks, somewhere soft in her chest, and approaches his bed with light steps. Cadet Tup, how are you feeling? Tup startles faintly, jerking up to his elbows. General T, sorry, sir, I didn't realize. Shock shakes her head, sinking down to sit in the chair beside him, and setting Colt's helmet on her lap. There is nothing to be sorry for, Tup. Forgive me for startling you. She offers him a smile, then steels herself and offers a hand as well. You are well? Tup eyes her hand, then smiles faintly. A Jedi thing? He asks, even as he takes it. Yes, Shock says, and refuses to be overwhelmed by the flicker of something dark that rises, the sound of a blaster, Tup's pained voice repeating a chilling mantra. No change, then. They know about the chips, but that's not enough to change what's coming. It gives me a sense of you, if you are happy or if you are scared. Gently, she folds her hands around his, closing her eyes and bowing her head. You're very brave, Tup. I won't let you die like that, she thinks. Tup flushes, carefully pulling his hand away. Dogma's the brave one. He always knows what to do. I just follow him. Shock chuckles. I do not doubt that Dogma is brave as well, she says. But you feel fear and keep moving despite it. I consider that a very valuable form of bravery. Tup's ears are red, and he looks away, gaze dropping to Colt's helmet with something like relief. Is that Commander Colt, sir? Shock inclines her head, dropping her hands back to the cool plastoid and pressing her thumb against the gray markings. It is. He's undergoing the same tests you just went through. And he gave you his helmet? Tup sounds slightly scandalized. Hiding a laugh behind one hand, Shock nods. I like to think that we're friends, she says warmly. He is a very kind man. He's the leader of the Rancor Battalion. Tup looks as though he doesn't understand how to fit kind into that framework. Shock can feel her smile pull into something rueful, and she sighs. What he is forced to be has no bearing on his nature, she says gently, but firmly. None of us are meant to be soldiers, Tup, but we have to be for now. We were made to be soldiers, General, Tup says quietly, watching her. It's the whole reason we were created. Yes, you were created to be soldiers in this war, and I was created to be a hunter on Shili, Shock tells him, smiling. What those responsible for our creation intended has no bearing on what we decide to be, Tup. Before Tup can answer, a droid buzzes politely to catch Shock's attention, then swoops closer as she turns, offering her a pad. General, the compiled results for the squad are ready. The commander is still undergoing the brain scan, but he will be finished soon. Thank you, Shock says politely, and takes the device. She scans the first few pages of basic data, then goes back and looks again, something itching at her. The squad seems perfectly healthy, though Tup is getting less rest than the others. A personality flaw, the droids have concluded, which makes Shock frown. Otherwise, their results are perfectly standard, in line with every other report Shock has seen from the halls of healing or... She pauses, goes back to the front page, and looks again, more slowly this time. Pardon me, she says, careful as she picks her words. Are these the complete tests? Yes, General. The droid eyes her, wary. The basic tests were all well within normal limits. Shock glances up, looking at Tup, who's watching her curiously. Looks down at the pad again, which is lacking one statistic that Republic doctors' reports rarely are. Suddenly, starkly, even beyond the terrible images she sees when she touches him, Shock weighs her own actions to Tup, the way she was drawn to him immediately, just because she saw him flinch. Just because she saw him, and something called to her. "You did not include midichlorian counts," she says. The droid pauses for a long moment, like she startled it. "No, General T. They are not considered standard, even for in-depth testing." Something as dark as suspicion settles in Shock's chest, fills her lungs. "You are capable of running such tests, however?" "Of course." "Then please do." Shock hands the data pad back with a smile. "I do not wish to overlook something potentially important." "At once, General T." The droid takes it, then swoops away, heading for the back room. And Shock carefully breathes out, folding her hands over Colt's helmet to ground herself. So simple. If the Kaminoans have deliberately avoided testing clones for midichlorian counts, if they've been hiding that the Force can manifest in cloned soldiers, if they've been implanting chips in them for an unknown purpose, perhaps Agen's presence is far more important than Shock had thought. "Sir?" Tup asks warily. Shock raises her head, gives him a smile. "I'm sorry, Tup. I didn't mean to ignore you."
"No, no, you're fine, General," Tup says quickly, raising his hands.
He sits up carefully, looking from her to the door the droid vanished through, and then asks, "Is there something wrong with us?" Shock considers what to say, how to answer, wants to tell him the truth, but they don't know the truth. Not yet. All she has are suspicions, and the presence of the chips, and the broken voice that whispers, "Could soldiers follow orders?" whenever she touches Tup's skin.
"No," she finally says, and smiles at him. "But I sense something in the Force, something that tells me to be cautious. That is why I asked for these tests."
"Oh." Tup looks relieved, and he reaches up, tugging his bun straight with absent nervousness. It talks to you? The Force?" Shock hums, closing her eyes and raises a hand, palm up.
"The Force does not come to me as a voice. It is more like a presence, like light on a sunny day, all around me. I see the way it falls and where it is the strongest and when it is disrupted by shadows."
Opening her eyes, she smiles at Tup.
"There is much light here, Tup. You and your brothers are all different in the Force, each a unique light."
Tup's eyes are a little wide, but he smiles. "It's only been sunny once here," he says. "But it was beautiful. You see that all the time?" Shock inclines her head, dropping her hand back to the helmet.
"Feel more than see," she says. "But yes, that is what it means to be a Jedi. To feel that and to use it to help those around you."
"That's really cool," Tup says, then flushes and practically snaps his head down. Shock hides her smile behind a hand.
"Yes," she agrees. "I think so as well."
The hiss of a door sliding open catches her attention, and she turns to see the droid re-entering the room. It heads straight for her, offering the data pad again, and says, "The results, General T." Shock's hands don't tremble as she takes it, but only because she already knows what the tests are going to say. Still, she flips through them, checks, carefully, each member of Tup's squad, and Dogma has a slightly lower count than the baseline, but the other three members are perfectly average for humans. It's likely enough to make Dogma rather susceptible to Force mind tricks, which is something to train him against.
If Shock remembers correctly, commanders get that training. So perhaps if he shows aptitude in that area, she can recommend he be switched to a command track. It isn't enough to affect anything otherwise, but given the nature of the enemy, precautions aren't unwarranted. Tup's report is the very last, and Shock takes one look at his midichlorian count and raises her calm. Master Kolar, she says politely, are you available? On the other end, there's a grunt, a thud, and then Agen's voice. Master T? Yes, where? Bless Agen and his lack of questions. Shock breathes out, gives him the room number, and says, quickly, please. Agen's response is to close the connection, already moving. Turning to the droid, Shock smiles. Please transfer these results to the Jedi High Council as soon as possible, marked for the Jedi Masters, she says, and delete any records of them. The droid pauses, startled. You authorize me to delete medical records? It asks suspiciously. For the good of the patients, of course, Shock says easily. I do not know if the Kaminoans would consider differing midichlorian counts aberrations, but I would prefer they not have the chance to do so, and perhaps decide the clones in question would be better terminated. If they've been neglecting to test for midichlorians, if they've been covering up any clones with a force sensitivity, well, they're in a perfect position for it. Far beyond the Republic, on a hidden planet with the Force so clouded that it's hard to find Force-sensitives, even on the mid-rim worlds now. No Jedi recruiter would ever think to search Kamino for sensitives. The droid buzzes thoughtfully. That is reasonable, it allows after a moment. I will do as you request. There's another pause, and then it glances up. The commander is out of testing, General T. Shock breathes out, hooking the fingers of her free hand underneath his helmet. Thank you. How long before he can safely be woken from his sedation? We can wake him now if you would like, the droid says, but it would be safest to wait 10 minutes before we attempt it. I can wait, Shock assures it. Thank you very much. The droid hums an affirmative. Commander Colt's brain scan turned up negative, it says. There was no trace of a chip. As she'd feared. Shock closes her eyes for a long moment, then nods. I appreciate everything you have done for me, she tells the droid. Weighs how to ask it if it's willing to break the Kaminoan's rules, and then asks delicately, may I consult with you on this matter at a later time? Of course, General. The droid bobs to her, then buzzes away. And Shock breathes out, breathes in, bows her head. Tup is watching her, cautious, attentive. Tup, she says, careful. I would like to speak with you privately, if you would allow me to do so. As soon as Master Kolar gets here and Commander Colt is awake, would you accompany me back to my quarters? Tup blinks, startled, but willingly nods. Of course, sir. He flicks a glance at the pad she's holding, and then asks, is it about my tests? Is something wrong? Shock smiles at him, reaching out, catches his hand when he reaches back and squeezes, lets all the warmth bubbling up inside her bleed out into her voice when she says, no, Tup, no, this is something wonderful, and I would like to make you an offer. But I don't wish to do it where others can overhear. There is the possibility the Kaminoans may not approve. Oh. Tup flushes faintly, looking down at their hands, and then nods quickly. Of course, but it's about the test results, isn't it? He has good instincts, as is to be expected. Yes, Shock says. You have a high midichlorian count. Higher than anyone else in your squad. It means you are eligible for special training. Like ARC trooper training? Tup asks, startled.
Me?
Shock chuckles. Something similar, she allows, and feels the rapid approach of a familiar mind in time to turn towards the main doors. They slide open, and Egan strides in, looking grim. His eyes fix on her immediately, and he crosses the room with quick steps. Shock? He asks. Shock shakes her head, not willing to say more than she already has in the open. In my rooms, she says quietly. Commander Colt will wake shortly, and then we can leave. Egan frowns. You were attacked? He asks warily. No, Egan, Shock tells him. I would have calmed you. Egan huffs, folding his arms over his chest. You'd better, he tells her, and eyes Tup. This one? Clone Cadet Tup, Shock says, and long practice keeps her from rolling her eyes. Tup, this is Jedi Master Egan Kolar, who serves with me on the High Council. General Kolar, Tup says quickly, ducking his head. It's an honor to meet you, sir. Egan doesn't answer. He's frowning at Tup, confused more than angry. Then, deliberately, he turns that look on Shock, brows furrowed. You have a piece of plastoid in your hair, Egan, Shock says mildly, and refuses to elaborate. The fact that Egan can feel the pull as well as she can is a relief, though, even beyond Tup's midichlorian count. As Egan mutters unhappily and tries to comb the pieces of shattered armor from his long, wild hair, Shock leans forward, touching the back of Tup's hand lightly. I will go see about you getting released early, she says. One moment, Tup. Sure, General. Tup looks from her to Egan, slightly wary, but doesn't protest, and Shock rises to her feet. When Egan glances at her, she motions for him to stay where he is, tucks Colt's helmet under one arm, and goes to find a droid. It's a different one than the one she's been speaking with, but it's entirely unbothered by her request and releases Tup into her care without protest. Useful, but property, Shock thinks. Her heart sore. The Republic owns the clones, so whatever she wants to do with them is permissible. The Jedi wouldn't hurt them in any way, but... She breathes through it, feels movement beyond the closest door, and turns quickly, taking two steps and catching Colt as he staggers. Commander, she says, and pulls his arm over her shoulders. I'm so sorry to have woken you early, but... Security reasons, Colt says, and even if he's still groggy, his expression is set. The crooked smile he casts her is precisely the one she knows, too. I'll rest easier somewhere else anyway, General. Let's go. Yes, Shock agrees quietly, and helps him across the floor. His steps steady quickly, but she keeps a hold on him just to be sure he won't waver, and nods to Egan as they approach. Egan, Tup, are you ready? Yes, sir, Tup says quickly, and slides out of bed. He eyes Colt as he straightens, and asks warily, General, would you like me to? Shock laughs a little. Togruta are quite strong, Tup. I'm perfectly fine supporting the commander's weight, but thank you. She's prettier than you, too, Colt tells him, then pauses like the words are registering belatedly, and grimaces. Sorry, sir. Shock has to hide a chuckle. Sedation can make us say many things sometimes, Commander. Egan? Egan inclines his head, falling in with her to get the door. He walks with one hand close to his lightsaber, eyes sharp as he scans the hall outside, and he nods shortly when he sees it's clear. Anyone coming? He asks her. Shock shakes her head. There's a Kamino in who just passed and may turn around, but no one else to the edge of her range. There is a less used lift by the storage room for cleaning supplies. Left down the next corridor, Egan. Scan was negative, Colt murmurs, almost soundless as he leans a portion of his weight on her. Yes. Shock returns, equally soft. And there were other developments. Fantastic. Colt glances down to where Shock is still carrying his helmet and exhales. Thanks, General. Thank you for volunteering, Colt, Shock says softly. Colt snorts, says what he thinks of that. My brothers, he says. My duty. Too many duties, Shock thinks, and curls her fingers around his. Glances ahead of them and says, Agen, two approaching. With a muttered curse, Agen hurries ahead of them, keying the lift open, and Tup ducks in first. Shock slips in past him, maneuvering back so that the edge of the lift will hide her and Colt, and Agen enters more slowly, deliberately. He pulls himself up to his full height, the tips of his horns almost brushing the top of the door, shoulders squared until he seems twice as big as normal, and the steps that just rounded the corner come to a sharp stop. Deliberately, Agen lets the door close, then turns, eyes the waiting figures as the lift rises, and when they're high enough to be safe, he says, That bounty hunter, Brick, and one of the Mandalorians. Not people Shock would want catching them, even if she could likely talk her way out of it. Thank you, Agen, she murmurs, and he nods, relaxing back to a more normal posture. How do you do that? Tup asks, startled. Is it a Jedi trick? Like a mind trick? Agen snorts. Zabrak are mean, he says. I just make people think I'm extra mean. Shock chuckles. It's posture, she tells Tup. Bearing and confidence, plus a touch of projection with the Force. Agen is quite skilled at it. Agen crosses his arms over his chest, and he doesn't quite look pleased with himself, but the thought is there. People tend to listen better when I do. Yeah, Colt says dryly. I'm sure they do, sir. Shock hides a laugh, and as the lift comes to a stop, she says, Right, to the second hall, then left. There's no one coming. Agen still eyes the wide, transparent steel windows, like they're the enemy as he emerges. Too visible, is his verdict. I've thought the same thing, Shock says wryly. Though Kamino has repelled every attack thus far, the structures here are all glass and air, and even if she knows they're structurally sound, it's hard not to miss the stone and light of the temple, which always feels aged and steady. Agen seems entirely displeased by it, and he keys in the code to her quarters quickly, like he can't wait to be out of sight. Shock lets Tup pass first, then follows, steering Colt to a chair and helping him settle with careful hands. Would you like something to drink? She asks, concerned. Water or tea? Tea, if you're making it, Agen says, closing and locking the door. He pulls a small device from his pocket and activates it, then drops it on Shock's table. A jammer, Shock thinks, eyeing it. Agen always comes prepared. The tea on Nar Shaddaa is bad. I'm surprised you had time for tea in between chasing Quinlan, Shock says in amusement, and straightens, cocking her head at Colt in question. Water, please, Colt says, then grimaces. Feels like they stuffed my mouth with packing fluff. Shock inclines her head, setting his helmet beside him. Of course. Tup? Tup doesn't seem to know what to do with his hands, and finally he just folds his arms over his chest, gripping his elbows. Me? Tea? Of course. Shock smiles at him, touching his arm. You're welcome to sit if you like, Tup. We don't mean to alarm you. Tup looks at her, then flicks a quick glance at Agen and Colt, pauses and then looks back at Shock, meeting her eyes. It's just, it felt like you were sneaking, sir.
And you said the Kaminoans wouldn't approve, but about what?
Shock breathes out. I'm sorry, Top, she says softly. This must be quite confusing. Please sit. I'll explain everything.
Top swallows, but sits, and Shock can feel his eyes following her as she heats water and fetches a glass for Colt.
You said it's about my tests, General?
Partially, Shock allows, and returns to the main room, pausing beside Colt's chair to hand him his drink. Looks at Agen looming by the door and says, You have a high midichlorian count, Top. So do I. So does Agen. All Jedi do. It is what gives us the ability to use the Force.
For a long moment, Top looks entirely uncomprehending. He stares at her, and then, slowly, his eyes widen.
Me? He demands. I'm...
You have the potential to be a Jedi, yes, Shock says, and sinks into the chair across from him, reaching for his hands.
Doesn't flinch at the echo of blaster fire and a Jedi's death, just grips his hands comfortingly, feeling the swirl of chaotic emotions raging in him.
If you were born on a Republic world, a Jedi recruiter likely would have found you as an infant and seen that your parents knew you had a place at the temple. Seeing that you never had the chance, I would like to petition the council to offer you a place as a Padawan learner.
Top doesn't answer, still stunned, speechless. Colt, however, is frowning faintly. He asks, Is that done? I thought Padawans were all young.
Shock tips her head, considering.
It is very infrequent, she allows, that an adult would become an initiate. However, there is no age limit to being chosen as a Padawan.
Pauses, because the memory of Qui-Gon before the council is all too clear, and smiles ruefully.
There have been controversial decisions as to the acceptance of older children in the past, and many times it is a decision weighted heavily by the Force-sensitive's personality and aptitude to be a Jedi. I believe Tup would do well, but in the end, it is his decision.
She squeezes Tup's hands again, then lets go, sitting back.
Being a Jedi means sacrifice, Agen says, quiet.
And he hasn't moved, but his gaze is fixed on Top. When Top glances at him, he inclines his head.
Not everyone chooses that path. We own nothing and serve others and follow only what the Force and our code tells us is right.
But Top stops, takes a breath. But you're free, he says quietly. You're like us, like clones, but... You're free.
Yes, Shock says quietly and meets his gaze. Top, the Jedi will try their best to free you and your brothers when the war is over, and we Jedi serve the Republic just as you do. But if you decide to take this path, there is freedom at the end of it.
We're in this war too, Agen says, grim. We're soldiers. So if you want to wait and hope for after the war...
You want to make me a Jedi, Tup says, choked. I want your Jedi and you want me to be one too.
His tone makes Shock laugh just a little, and she inclines her head.
We do, Tup. I, for one, think you would be a very good Jedi.
I want that, Tup says. And this, at least, is steady.
He looks at Shock, hesitates, but forges on determinedly a moment later.
You said it was like feeling sunlight all the time. I want to learn to do that.
Not the showy things, not the powerful things. He wants to feel the light. Shock laughs, and something settles in her chest, a wash of warm certainty that feels like dawn.
I will teach you, she promises,
and wonders if Tup could hear the weight of the oath in those words.
She failed her last two Padawans, lost them to violence right after they were knighted. But not this time. Not again. She'll save Tup, and she'll help him find his freedom, no matter what.
Master? Barriss asks quietly. Is something wrong?
Luminara's fingers hesitate over the comm terminal. Surprise, a flicker of ice through her lungs. The transmission is directly from the medical department on Kamino, marked with Shakti's personal code. And for a moment, Luminara feels a swell of fear, of trepidation. If there's an attack, if Shak is hurt, if she needs assistance, Luminara can't leave her post. Wouldn't, not ever, because her duty as a Jedi comes before all else. But just for a moment, she hopes desperately that this isn't the alert of yet another loss, another body to be consigned to the fire. She's seen far too many friends fall since the war started. Then, firmly, she marshals herself, takes a breath, sets the fear aside, and releases it. Accepting the moment of humanity, but not willing to let it hold her trapped.
A message from Master T, she says, redirected from the temple.
It's marked for all 11 other members of the High Council, but no one else has opened it. It's likely the middle of the night on Coruscant, and all the rest of them are in the distracting muddle of their own missions. Luminara is the first to accept it. And she pulls it up just as the door slides open.
General? Gree asks. I have the injury reports you wanted.
And then he stops, staring at the image on the comm screen, looks from the message to Barriss to Luminara, and alarm shades his voice when he asks,
Is something wrong on Kamino, General?
I'm not sure, Luminara says with a frown, and glances at the message. Standard. Sent by a droid on Shock's orders, without more than her comm signature to show the messages from her. But there are files attached, and Luminara opens the first, and then pauses, startled. Clone cadet medical files, from simple tests all the way to deep brain scans that Luminara has only seen used in the worst head injuries, and...
What is that?
Barriss asks, alarmed, and leans around Luminara to touch a section of the brain scan. It unfolds across the screen, and Barriss's eyes widen sharply.
Master Luminara, that looks... It looks like some kind of chip.
What? Gree manages, stepping closer.
Those are for cadets, aren't they? Those files? Who's putting chips in cadets?
Luminara frowns, opening two more of the files and pulling them up for Barriss. Quickly, Barriss enlarges them, making the chips clear, and then pauses.
They all have them, she says quietly, and there's a thread of horror in her voice that echoes what Luminara feels.
All 5 members of the squad, but they're not batchmates, so...
So something is at work here, Luminara says evenly. She glances at Barriss, the healer between them, and asks, Is there a reason you can think of for a chip to be in that place in the brain?
Barriss pauses, then shakes her head.
These men look perfectly healthy otherwise, she says, skimming the rest of the files. There shouldn't be any reason to implant something like that. I don't know what it is, but that's a dangerous spot in humans. If a chip degraded, it would be almost impossible to get out without killing the patient.
Shock would have sent this for a reason. It has the look of a hasty transmission, something sent that looks innocuous on the surface. But Luminara is entirely familiar with Shock. She's fond of niceties, and even her reports to the council open with light talk and pleasantries. For her to forego them entirely, to send these files without any explanation... The Force whispers a warning, and Luminara listens.
Commander Gree, she says quietly, do you know if the cruiser's medibay has the capability to perform a level 5 brain scan of this nature?
Scree is one of the cleverest people Luminara has ever worked with. His gaze snaps to her, and she can see the understanding that crosses his face, the revulsion that follows.
You, General, you think we have them too?
Barriss is pale, and she lifts her hands to her mouth, pressing them against her lips.
Why? She whispers. Who would do that?
Shock's most pressing concern during her last report was uncovering what the Kaminoans wouldn't tell her about the cloning process. She'd gotten so tense that even Mace was eyeing her sideways by the end of the meeting, something that's never happened before in Luminara's memory, if she remembers correctly. Shock even asked for permission to press the cloners. Apparently, she's been doing more than just pressing them verbally. It's amusing. Sneaking around and slicing into files was always much more Qui-Gon's area, not tactful, reserved Shock's. This war has driven them all to develop new skills, though, and Luminara is glad these seem to have borne fruit.
Commander, she asks, patient.
Gree grimaces, pulls himself upright.
No, sir, we don't. But there's a Haven-class medical station near here, and given our number of wounded, I was going to recommend a detour there at the next available opportunity.
Luminara nods. See to it, Commander. Do you know if any other Jedi are currently there? Gree frowns, then rounds the other side of the table to pull up the accounting.
It looks like Adi Gallia and her starfighter squadron are recuperating there, sir. And General Pong Krell was injured in his last fight and is being treated there.
Luminara contains her frown at the name. It's never fair to blame a Jedi for encountering harsh opposition, but... Krell's men have the highest casualty rates of any units in the Gar, and Luminara likes that very little.
Well, having another member of the Council in residence will certainly be helpful, is all she says, and it's true enough.
Adi has always had a level head.
Barriss, can you isolate the images of the chips and send them on to the other council members, marked as urgent? Make sure they know to open Shock's message as soon as possible.
Yes, Master. Barriss inclines her head, but glances up, looking to Gree and then to Luminara.
Do you think Master T is all right?
Luminara breathes in, breathes out. Flips through the remaining reports, more to keep her hands moving than anything else.
Shock T is one of the most skilled Jedi in the Order, she says. We must trust in her to do what she must, and in the meantime we will do what we can to assist her. She clearly wanted the Council to have this information.
She stops. Stops dead, staring at the accounting on the page of the very last file. Simple numbers arranged in a familiar set of data.
Master? Barriss asks, alarmed. Master, what's wrong?
Oh, Force, Luminara says. No wonder Shock was so desperate to get this information out. This clone, he's Force-sensitive.
Barriss's eyes widen, and Gree stops short in the middle of issuing orders.
Sir? He asks.
A Force-sensitive clone. The first, as far as Luminara knows. But if one has appeared, what are the odds that there are no others?
Far, far lower, Luminara thinks. Cold. Than the odds that there are others. But their existence has simply been covered up.
Or, perhaps, they no longer exist. Which is the most chilling idea of all. If Force-sensitive clones exist, if there is a concerted effort by Kaminoans to conceal them or kill whatever clones display such talent, then as Jedi, it is their responsibility to rescue every last clone who is in danger, even if that means they rescue all of them.
If you'll excuse me, Luminara says, perfectly composed, perfectly steady. I need to calm the council.
And she'll keep calming until every last one of them answers to hear this news. The Kaminoans, she thinks grimly, are very quickly proving that they are not to be trusted. And after all the tales she's heard from her troopers, Luminara is more than willing to take them at face value.